podcast viewfinder.
Every time I try to read the Bible and Jesus, the one with all the words in red, I open my Bible to that New Testimony and see all that red and I just give up. Jesus was talking way too much. Hey, I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
And welcome to Podcast Viewfinder, episode 18.
18. Like, if you divide that by 6, it's 3. And you know what? It's supposed to come out one day, Half-Life 3.
Half-Life 3,
yeah,
confirmed.
Yeah, see?
Like 10 people get that joke.
Yeah.
Hey, that opening quote was from Diary of a Mad Black Woman, which we're going to talk about today.
You may one.
Oh.
Hello, Siri.
You may wonder why, but
Siri listens to us now. Is that weird?
Siri always, yeah.
If like always listening?
If your phone's plugged in and you say, "Hey, Siri." She heard me. If you say, "Hey, Siri," it pops up and then she like asks you questions.
Not every phone though, because you have to have an iPhone.
Oh, just iPhone. Because the Google one is like, "Okay, Google."
Okay, Google. Yeah.
Does that listen
Cortana
when it's not
Windows
plugged in?
Huh?
Does it work when it's not plugged in? Because the iPhone only works if it's plugged into a power source.
Yeah, because it's always listening. And it takes a lot of energy to listen to your
That is weird. The future is now.
Hey,
so today I'm excited about today's episode because we're going to talk about... I put a Facebook post on my personal page. We probably should start a Podcast Viewfinder page. Who knows? But
yeah, we'll do that soon.
Someday. We have an email.
Podcastviewfinder@gmail.com. Does anybody ever send us mail through that? Or just to your personal? They just flood your personal.
No. We got two responses on the question that we've been asking. But
awesome.
I put it on Facebook. We got a ton of responses. So
yeah.
We asked.
Well, there's like 2 billion people on Facebook. How many people really know your email?
Yeah. Well, the people that listen to the show.
And so
which,
6
I do want to say thanks because we've had quite a few... people listen, so...
You guys are awesome.
So thanks a lot.
Pat yourself on the back.
Yeah,
you look guys, in the mirror.
You guys are great.
Point, smile, and say you're awesome.
So we've been doing this almost 3 months now. Wait, 18?
Yeah.
How many is that? 4, 8, 12...
Remember? 6 divided... Yeah, it's 3.
3 months? No, it's not. I don't even know.
4?
So
4 and a half months.
So we've been doing this, yeah. And we've had over 500 listeners, so like unique listeners, so 700 something, I don't know. So
yeah, half of them have come from outside the country too. Weird.
We don't know that.
You know, whenever you look at your like, oh, people are getting on my website, and they're like, most of them are from outside the U.S. This is weird.
Are you just judging people based on their names? You're highly racist. Okay.
I'm not racist.
Like, oh, this guy's named Juan. He must not be from
Juan.
America.
No.
You're just making up
no.
stuff. So, no, but the question we've been asking is, like, what's a movie that's had an impact on your life? Somebody put a TV show, too, that we'll talk about. But so we got a lot of responses. Some were just, like, they told me the movie, and I'm like, I have no idea what that movie impacted you. So I had to like write him back. I'm like, hey, can you explain this a little bit? So, but yeah, we'll talk about that later on in the show today. So I'm excited about that. But we got to get to our normal stuff.
Normal stuff.
Okay, let's start with Florida because that's what
yeah.
We always,
okay,
we always
so
with,
what, Florida. What, well, okay, so you know what's been in
Florida
the news
follies.
Lately? What's been in the news, right? So there was a doctor. He was over in Africa and he was a hunter. So
yeah.
What happened? What did he do?
He hunted.
Okay, what did he hunt though?
A lion?
Yeah, Cecil, right? Cecil.
Cecil.
Cecil the lion, right? And so he kills Cecil the lion. So that's been in the news lately. But this other thing has been totally overlooked. I don't see why nobody cares about this because, like, I feel like everybody on Facebook's like,
Because that, would that happen in Africa? He killed a lion?
Zimbabwe. Where's that at? I don't know.
I
right?
think, yeah.
It's in Africa. Am I judging? this name. Like,
Zimbabwe, that's a ride at Hollywood.
It is. You should go,
Safari.
Guys. It's in Indiana. So for all those listeners outside of Indiana.
That are in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, you should come by. We got an awesome.
We have your water slide at Holiday World.
It's great. It's got little faces. It's drilled into the side of it. It's really weird.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so this happens. He kills him. He lured him out. He paid like $50,000 to kill this lion, I guess. So a lot of backlash. I don't know who this lion is. Never heard of this lion.
Well, obviously they're mad about it because the lion had a name. Because yeah. It is like, oh, this is just a wild lion that's in a village, like, eating people. They'd be fine with it. But it's like, this is a Cecil. This is somebody's pet.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What else do we name? But there's stuff we name in life that we don't like Hurricane Katrina. Like, even anytime you meet a Katrina, you're like, oh,
man,
you're the worst person ever. Like, you automatically assume they're bad. That's not true. All the Katrinas out there, I'm sorry that
we know a Katrina. She's nice.
Yeah, she is.
Sometimes. She's hurricane-like forces. No.
So, Cecil, the lion, dies, right? I mean, they've probably had a couple of funerals. Everybody's having, like, funerals on Facebook. But what about the bears? Lions
bears.
And tigers.
And bears.
Oh my. They are having a bear hunt in Florida. So Florida starts selling bear hunting permits. Right? You're like, I didn't even know they had bears, first off.
I know, right? You never think of like, oh, you know, Florida, there's alligators, there's mosquitoes.
Lizards.
Swamps.
Sharks.
And bears.
Bears.
Like, Florida sounds like the most unsafe place. I was there a couple weeks ago, and I didn't see a bear. I saw a hairy man at the beach that I thought was a bear.
He got scared.
Yeah, I was like,
I need to get off this beach. Luckily, I had
my bear permit. I almost attacked him.
Yeah, with his bare hands. So, some of the stuff, one of the reasons is wildlife officials said the goal of the hunt is to help manage the state bear's population. Again, you're like, how many bears do you guys really have? You need help managing the population.
So, yeah, they're allowing 200 bears to be hunted in order to stabilize the bear population.
What?
So I know old people go to Florida, but bears?
That's not fair. Can't we just like move them north? Like, all right, guys, time to go back up north. So
I say we put them in a life raft and send them to Cuba.
No, we're opening up the... Well, we are opening up the borders, you know? We got an embassy down there. So good things are happening in Cuba. Cuba's our next one. Florida was it, now it's Cuba. But
Zimbabwe's in Cuba, I think.
So, news, they always interview people, right? So, Dana Schaefer.
Oh, wait.
Dane Schaefer of Sorrento.
You're the worst at names.
I am, right? She's probably not from around here, that's why. So, he's been hunting deer and hogs all his life, but never a bear. And this is what he says. To hunt bears would be a new challenge for me.
I guess, right, because a deer is not going to, like, fight back. Like, you may shoot it, and it, like, if you don't kill it with a shot, it's going to be, like,
run away,
yeah.
Why are you shooting at me, bro?
Don't tase me, bro. Yeah, but a bear, I feel like, I wouldn't want to mess with bears. Like,
if I messed that up, man, that could go poorly.
I was attacked by a bear one time, but that story's for
another
day.
That is a very good story.
I'm terrified. Terrified of bears. And so I would, have you ever been hunting? I've never hunted.
Hunted? I've never, what does it qualify? Like,
have you been hunting? Have you gone out?
I haven't actually taken a rifle out and like, hey, gah, gah.
That's a weird gun. Wait, was that a gun noise? Gah, gah, gah. Are you shooting crows? Gah, gah.
Right?
It's my crow gun.
Pow, pow. How's that?
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good gun noise. Maybe we should get into that business. Sound effects by Chris.
Sound effects.
Oh, and your Medisa voice.
Medea. Why can't you not say people's names? Cecil, not Cecil. It's Cecil.
Cecil.
Dane. Not Diana or whatever you said.
Saw that as an A. Okay. E's and A's. They're close.
It's Zimbabwe. Right. So. All right.
But yeah, so like, can you imagine this going poorly, though? I could see this going poorly. You go out there, these high expectations. I could see people who don't know what they're doing getting out there and just taking a shot, missing. That bear, it's not going to run away. A deer, if you shoot at, what's going to do?
It's going to run away.
Yeah, the bear's going to be like, oh, it's on. It's just going to charge. Have you ever seen that movie, The Edge?
Yes.
Yeah, right? They're getting hunted by a bear.
I saw that in theaters, and that movie terrified me. I cried during that movie because that bear ate that man.
Right. I'm like, I'm never going to go after a bear.
I know.
I'm done, right? Bear hunter.
That's where my fear of bear started, when that bear ate that man, and then we were leaving the theater, and a bear ate my brother. It was like, I was like, oh, man, bears just eat people.
Bears in Indiana? It's like bears in Florida.
Bears in Florida. Yeah. So, hey, if you're in Florida, if one of our listeners in Florida, go get a bear permit and you just get bear spray. That's what I would carry around if I lived in a high
bear spray,
a high bear area. Yeah, it's bear spray.
Do you spray that on you? Like, is you it spray bear on the repellent? Bears.
It's kind of like mace, I think, but
it's
for bears. That
would make it mad.
Maybe it's like honey, and they like spray it on them. And like, oh, and then they're distracted, yeah, and then you I shoot away. Them with my
your pellet gun. Take that and do a little kick. Hiya!
But, all right. So, stay away from bears in Florida.
Oh, man. I hope we don't lose listeners to this.
No, because... Right? Well,
I mean, we could be... So, next week is like, we lost a couple listeners because they went hunting.
I forgot that this podcast is about worldview. I didn't forget that. I forgot to say that it was.
Yes.
But no, because we talk about worldview, and there's like, it's very different views on hunting. Like, yeah. Some people are against hunting if you just go out and hunt for sport. Because you said you went out and tracked stuff, like maybe to take pictures or just for the thrill of
like
it.
Squirrels.
You didn't have a gun with... Squirrels, yeah. You can just go in your backyard and look. You don't have to go track squirrels down.
No, these squirrels, I did.
It was these
magical... Dude, those things are sneaky. They get behind trees, you're like, where'd it go? And they move around as you move around. You're like, stop doing that. Like, they are smart.
You sound like a little kid right now, but
anyway, that never happens to you.
Yeah,
obviously, right, you're not very good at tracking squirrels.
I obviously so.
So worldview.
Yeah, well, because your view on hunting, like, because that's why people are mad about this whole lion thing, right? Because their view of animals, like. That's where, like, animal rights stuff comes in versus human rights. Because animal rights, like, they have this...
Apes are humans, too.
Yeah. Monkeys are people, too. Soylent Green is people! So, sorry. Like, one person will get that reference. This idea of, like, I can hunt for sport, or I can hunt, like, to feed my family, or whatever. Like, there's this idea of, like, people get mad sometimes at hunters... Because they're like, oh, they're killing animals. They're innocent animals. What, we got to protect them and stuff. I didn't even want to go here, but the crazy stuff going on right now with the whole Planned Parenthood stuff. Like,
yeah,
like there. I mean, it's this idea of like there's an uproar, and rightfully so, of people that are like, you're putting more value over this lion,
Cecil the lion,
Cecil, as some people call him.
Yeah,
but Cecil the lion. Where like these are human lives. These are babies that you're like. Talking about flippantly in these videos, and I know there's people like, oh, they're highly edited, all this stuff. They've released longer versions. I mean, they seem very real, these videos. Like,
yeah.
I know people are trying to discredit it because it forces you to think about it, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're just like, oh, it's just a tissue, it's not really
it's a specimen.
Human. Yeah, it's just
it doesn't have a name attached to it, so
right.
I don't care as much about it.
If we call it, Bob the Baby, like, you have an attachment to it. But
yeah.
Cecil the Lion, people are like, Cecil, no! Why did you kill Cecil the Lion? But if you're like, oh, he's just this fur ball, like, you don't care about him. But, yeah, and so that whole thing with that's going on in the world right now with Planned Parenthood and that craziness of, it's not human life, it's not whatever, and you distance yourself from it because when these videos are forcing you to think and forcing people that are, like, for abortion and all that stuff, it forces them to change their worldview. And, we don't like that. Like, we like to view the world how we view it, and when we start to be like, well... Maybe I'm a terrible person, or maybe
we don't want to consider that.
Helped, yeah, like...
Because you're like, I've already made my choices.
Right. And so then you start to feel like, oh, maybe I am bad. Maybe
maybe I have been wrong.
And that's where, like, the whole thing with Jesus, like, he tells us that. Like, the Bible makes it clear that we're all messed up, and we're all sinners, and we don't like to face that fact. But when we come face to face with it, when we see these things like, oh, I'm a hunter, I'm gonna go kill a bear. People are like, no, you can't kill a bear, but there's a lot of them in Florida. But we get that mindset of, we distance ourselves from it, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm killing for, like, this is gonna feed my family, so we kind of justify that killing. Have you, so the island, going back to, they killed a hog on the island, but, like, watching, like, this guy, like, kind of have, like, they had to wrestle it down and then, like, stab it.
Yeah.
And kill it. And then, like, you saw, like, a few of the guys, like, something in them...
Emotional.
Snapped, and they started killing everybody. No. Started killing everybody in the island. No, but yeah, it was this, like, emotional thing, because, like, we don't have, like, I don't go to the you know, McDonald's and be like, hey, I want a hamburger. Like, hey, you gotta go back and slaughter a cow.
Kill a cow, yeah.
Because there's a... McDonald's doesn't even use beef.
We don't know. It's tofu.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just kidding. 100% beef patties at McDonald's. So, they listen. Ronald McDonald's a big listener. But yeah, but it's that idea of like... Like, it becomes personal, right? You're like, you're killing this hog. And
yeah.
And they're like, even saying things to it, like, hey, you're giving your life for us to live. Like, because there's this guilty conscience with, like, you're taking a life.
Yeah, yeah.
And so...
Well, it shows what it was never meant to be like. Obviously, from the very beginning, before the fall, it wasn't meant to be this way, the taking right. of life.
Yeah.
And so, and all forms of life. But yeah, my brother, he bought a cow and so and some chickens, and so he went out with our friend Bryce.
Oh yeah.
And they Farmer killed Bryce. They yeah, Bryce is awesome. And they killed these things, and you're like, man, that's gotta be tough, right? And he's like, yeah, it is. And so because you have that personal attachment. You're like, oh, like it's in my mind it's different, but then when I get up close and see it and I'm like, oh, it makes it more real, I guess.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of like there's an organization here that like they give women that are like having that choice of like, oh, do I get an abortion? Or do
yeah.
I keep the baby or whatever?
They do
like
an ultrasound.
They do an ultrasound because you see like, oh, this is a baby living inside of me.
Yeah, and this is real.
Immediately it becomes, yeah, like you can't distance yourself from it anymore.
Yeah.
And so they want you to like realize like, hey, this is a human. Like this is a person. And that was kind of the uproar with the whole Cecil thing. Like people like flip it out. Because the news coverage is covering more of this lion getting killed than they are about like this
babies
whole,
being aborted,
the Planned Parenthood thing, and all that stuff. And so,
yeah,
this just like took a not a dark turn, but yeah,
it got real.
It got real, but your worldview like matters. Like the way that you view life around you matters, and that's gonna like hopefully change for the better over time. But like when you have to wrestle with those questions of okay. Is this really life? If it's not, like, then what does that mean? Like, when does it become life? And all that whole argument.
What step? Yeah.
And I find it fascinating now that, like, there's, like, they're telling them they can't release any more of these videos.
Mm-hmm. The judge, because
it's like,
ordered it.
Oh, wait, we have free speech, right? Like, we're allowed to, like, they did this investigative journalism.
Yeah.
Like, to figure out, like, to uncover, like, hey, there's this stuff going on behind the scenes that you guys don't know about. And we're trying to get that out in the open. And this judge is like, oh, nope, cease and desist.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do this anymore. Like, wait, why not? Like, this is our right to know this because our government funnels tons of money into that organization. If they're doing stuff that they're not.
Yeah, I want to know what's happening. I think there needs to be more transparency with that.
And I think these videos have really helped people expand their worldview and say, like, oh, this is really what's going on. Like, I didn't know that. Like, I thought it was, they were about this, and now I see, like, maybe they're not. And so, and that, like, products do that too, right? So, we're going to switch gears greatly.
Yeah.
But we had this segment one time on here with
Andrew
Crow was on it, but product placement.
Yeah.
Because our, like, products that we buy, products that we consume, like, they're pushing a worldview. Like
you watch
a commercial and you're like, oh, this is a worldview that they're promoting.
I feel like, I mean, if I buy this product, it will help me transform into this person or be more like this idea of what I want. Because we want to put off a message. I mean, when I buy something, I want you to think about James. Like, man, that guy's cool because he wears these glasses and he does that. And he buys, I don't even know what else I buy.
Red Bull. Are you Red Bull or Monster Energy?
I've been a Red Bull fan. Not really. So that's been influenced, right? Peer pressure. I didn't know it. But back in high school, all the cool kids were drinking Red Bull.
Oh.
And I wasn't a cool kid back then. And so, later on in life, I got into Red Bull. I was like, Red Bull all the way. And now all the kids are drinking Monster. And I'm like, whatever. You don't know. I'm like, they're beneath me. I'm like, look at my can, look at yours. Right? Yours is bigger. It's got more, like, energy or whatever, but mine's quality. So
I don't like Red Bull. I think it tastes like bull urine.
How do you know that?
I don't, but I remember one time like I had to, it was like the sample or something. I was like,
it's so good.
It's disgusting.
It's so good. Oh, it's so good. It's I'm like, Red Bull.
It smells like pee. It's terrible. So
I'm not the only one who drinks Red Bull around here.
I don't know.
I'm sure I've got many people.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So, what about Monster?
You can write in at podcastbeyond@gmail.com and say...
What? Podcast Beyond?
I mean, Podcast Viewfinder. Man, I listen to another podcast. Dang it.
Yeah, don't plug their show on here.
podcastviewfinder@gmail.com. So, write in and tell us if you're a Red Bull or Monster drinker. But after this segment, they might not drink Monster ever again.
Well, so, I wouldn't. I don't. This is another reason why I'm a Red Bull. I mean, it gives me wings, first off.
Red Bull gives you wings!
But also, I mean, Monster's the devil's drink.
Complete disclosure, James is a sponsor of Red Bull.
Yeah, not really. I'll be totally transparent.
This show is not...
I get a lot of money from them.
Those are lies. Okay, so I watched this video. I think it was on Facebook, but then I looked it up on YouTube.
Yeah, this has been around for a bit.
Oh, has it?
Yes.
I don't know. Okay, well, I'm behind the times. But so this lady apparently is like, I don't know where this is at. It's like she's behind this table and she's like telling people why Monster energy drinks are from Satan,
the devil.
Yeah. So the letter M, the way that it's like worded or the way that it's drawn, written,
yeah,
it looks like these three. Is it Greek?
It's a Hebrew for six, and there are three of them. So, yeah, so 666 is what?
The number of Satan.
So yeah.
The devil's number. Uh-huh. So it's got that. Then the O, the way the O is drawn, there's a cross in it.
Yep.
So she's like, all right, well, here's what happens when you drink.
Is it, well, she's like, is this a Christian?
Oh, is this a Christian
like,
company?
Oh, it's got a cross, right? You're like, oh, crosses. People wear crosses.
Yeah.
And so she looked it up, right? And she's like, it's obviously not because it has some profanity on the can, or it did.
Well, I don't know if like...
Implied profanity.
Yeah. So implied profanity, but I guess on the side of the can. And then on the box, there's some implied profanity, too.
Yeah, and it sends a message. It sends a message. And then what happens when you drink it?
When you drink it, so you turn the can upside down, so it's an upside down cross.
Which is witchcraft.
Witchcraft, yeah. Yeah. So, So she's saying...
That's the devil.
Yeah, so all this... So here, okay. Even if they, like, this company hates Jesus and they're trying to spread something bad,
yeah.
What does that do, right? Like, what is having the 666, the upside-down cross? Like, if you don't know about... Now that I'm informed, is it now... Like,
now it's on your conscience. Now God's going to judge you. They'll be like, what'd you know, Chris?
You
what'd drink, you know?
I don't drink Monster. I don't drink energy drinks.
I just cover up the can. I'm like, all right. I'll put it in a different bottle.
I just pour it out sideways. So it never goes upside down.
It never does.
I just poke a hole in the bottom. So Jesus is always right side up. I'm like, oh, Peter, crucified upside down.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
He was a witch. No, I'm kidding. That's not true. That's not true.
Man. So, but yeah, but when I look at this, right, I'm like, okay, what's the point? Because then it says, like, unleash the beast. That's our slogan. Like, oh, the beast of Revelation and all that.
Yeah.
So, maybe the head of Monster is, like, the Antichrist. I don't know.
And a part of the Illuminati.
Yeah. So, this is where I don't get... Okay, you say
why did I just say that? Oh, my goodness. Now they're checking us.
Okay, hey, if
you're
James...
You're probably on in the Illuminati. If James, I don't even know.
If James isn't here next week...
I think we got killed off. I really am a little worried about
you can't say Illuminati
this.
On a podcast.
What? Stop saying it.
Everyone, oh, man. I said it again. Okay. So, what do they gain by doing all that stuff? Like, does it matter? Is it... Like, they're tricking everybody. Like, everybody drinks Monster.
They are.
There's a guy on staff here at our church that we work at that, like, he lives on Monster.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, what? How many cans? I mean, well, I walk around the church and find cans every once in a while.
He has, like, six a day. It's crazy.
Six?
Six divided by two is three.
Yeah,
half-life. Half-life three.
Half-life three confirmed. Okay.
Yeah, so... Okay, so what do they gain from it? I don't know. I mean, if you don't know anything about it, but they're spreading their message, their branding, all of that, so you see it everywhere, so...
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
well, this is something I did like about in the video, though, that she said, that I did agree with. And she said, the devil is very... She didn't say cunning, but smart.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, he is. He's very smart. Like, we think of... When we see the devil, we're like, oh, he's a pitchfork guy. He's dumb. I see his schemes.
Yeah.
But that's not obvious.
Yeah,
he's working in ways you don't even realize. And he's working in relationships, things that you don't even realize. And so that's why Jesus says, hey, be on guard. right? Be on guard. I mean, if Jesus is telling me, I'm pretty sure Jesus said that. We need to double check that. He said something like that. I'm sure it's different. It's been translated from Greek.
Yeah.
But yeah, we need to be as cunning as serpents, but as gentle as doves. And so, but yeah, I saw that. She said that in the video. I was like, you know, some of her stuff, I mean, she knows her stuff. Maybe she's read a little into it, but I agree with that statement a lot because, you know, he's looking for ways.
Yeah.
And so using anything.
The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I just don't think like he's spending a lot of time being like, hey, what energy drink can I infiltrate? So people are like, oh.
It's Monster. So go drink Rockstar. That's all about you being a Rockstar.
So Jesus does say, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions.
Hmm.
So he says, be on your guard, but against all kinds of greed.
Yeah.
But there's probably another thing that, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just making up Bible now. That was great.
Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees.
Yeah.
So watch out and beware. So I mean, he's talking about, like, watch out with what other people are doing.
Watch out for false teaching.
Yeah. Oops. So, false teaching. Like, so Monster energy drinks, you need to pray about it before you drink.
don't drink them upside down. Don't flip the bottle.
You don't flip it upside down, because then the cross is upside. Yeah. But what about the letter T? Like, that can be said for, like, anything. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, okay. But that's
another
our,
news. Another news. Big win for Xbox placement today.
Oh, more products.
Yeah, so I know. This is a product. I feel like this only happens like twice a year, okay. So I got to plug this.
So James is an Xbox guy.
I am.
I'm PlayStation. Uh-huh. So PS4 is a lot better than your Xbox.
but it's not.
But why do they have a big win today?
Because we had Gamescom. So it's halfway around the world or maybe a fourth of the way. It's somewhere in Europe, Germany, right?
I think so.
And so, yeah. So they had a conference and guess who didn't? You said this. I don't know if this is truly confirmed.
No, PlayStation doesn't have a conference at Gamescom.
See? Boom. Win.
Because there's several other things that are going on that they're going to do. It's in Cologne.
Because they don't have
Cologne. Is that Germany?
Ooh.
Yeah, Germany.
I need to get some. But yeah, so they showed off.
Or as James would call it, Cologne.
Cologne. You know, it's in a different country.
Yeah.
But yeah, so big win. I'm pretty excited. New games coming out. Anything in which I get to win over you.
Yeah,
I mean, I gotta celebrate every win I can get because they don't happen very often,
right? Because Xbox is always losing.
I know. Last
generation they did good with the 360.
That's right. Our controller is way better than yours, but this gen, I'm like, you know, they're really neck and neck close. I could use both, but yeah, I'm just like, man, not a whole lot of good things have been happening for Xbox lately, but they are.
So
this is the year of the Xbox.
So if you're a gamer, like Halo 5's coming out this year, it's gonna be great.
Yeah.
Forza 6
September something, 15th.
What else?
By the way, if we mention a product, we're not endorsing it. Oh, yes. So Red Bull, Monster, all that. I'm not saying, hey, go out and buy an Xbox One, but if you do want to play with me, you can go buy an Xbox One.
Over your PlayStation 4, my screen name, I'm Chat Attack. So
PSN. Caliber spelled wrong. I don't know. I did, right? I was like, man, I'm so dumb. Look, it's spelled wrong. Back in the day, I tried to be cool.
Yeah.
Still trying. Actually, I stopped trying. Like, it's never
going
to happen.
Keep going. Okay.
But yeah, so we don't endorse any of this stuff. A big win. I'm celebrating that right now. It's great. It's great to be James. For now. It's like a little short allotment.
Well, yeah, because
I'm so excited.
Sony's holding out for the, because they've got Tokyo Game Show coming up, and there's one other one that they're, I don't know. There's several different conferences, and so these big companies have to pick and choose which ones they go to. So they're like, Microsoft can have this one.
Yeah, and we did. We took it.
Yeah, you did.
Winners.
They did good. Some of the games do look good. I'm excited.
I am too.
I won't ever play them because it's on Xbox, but if you buy them and bring them over.
I will. College life. Hey, if you guys aren't doing anything on Wednesdays, we have college life. If you're college age, you should come out. Like, I'm just plugging everything.
Yeah.
If you don't live in Evansville, you can just drive really far. It's worth it.
So, okay. I do want to plug a game, and I'll say this is a family-friendly game you can play.
It's on PlayStation.
No, I don't know. It might be on Xbox. I don't know. I don't care. But it's called Rocket League. I've been playing this game a bit.
You love this game. It looks really fun.
I call it Rocket Soccer because all it is, like, you can play up to 4 versus 4, but you have these little cars that you drive, and there's this giant ball, and you're, like, trying to score. So you're, like, playing soccer with race cars, and it is... It's amazing.
I don't have that for my system. I'm really... See? You always try to win.
I think it's on Xbox. I think it is.
I looked it up. I look up these things. I'm like, where are all the cool games? You always bring in cool games.
Rocket League.
Okay. I don't have any cool games.
So if you're a gamer or if you're not and you're looking for a game to get into, Rocket League is a great one. Okay. Hey, it's time for... goes the culture. That was a pop.
Oh, wow.
Pop goes the culture. Let's talk about songs first, because then we're going to talk a lot about movies today. So, all right. So my song of the summer is Fight Song.
Yeah.
And your song of the summer is...
Shut Up and Dance.
And my song is overtaking your song this week. I'm one ahead. Number 7 and you're number 8.
Yeah, mine dropped 2 spaces. I'm so sad. It was supposed to be number 1. Never hit that. I'm like, what is wrong with this? What's wrong, people? Why don't you go out and listen to my song? I really don't understand. Request it. Do all that stuff.
I feel like Cheerleader's been... Oh, not Cheerleader. Cheerleader's still on number 1. Yeah. I feel like Shut Up and Dance has been out longer than Fight Song. And so, it's kind of... had its day, maybe, or like,
it never hit number 1.
It didn't, but neither has Fight Song. So,
but it's been out not as long, and it's moving up or moving down, however you want to look at it.
I don't know.
It's because that one song had it all summer. Why did you guys have to do that?
Come on! All right, so go listen to Fight Song. Support what? Team Shadowin,
or listen to Shove and Dance and support Team Awesome, James.
So, number 1 at the box office this weekend.
My favorite, Mission Impossible. So, the question is, this was number 1. Actually, some people were like, it's not going to make that much. It's got great reviews, 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it's got really good reviews.
It's got some, I don't know about the messaging. I'm like, is there a message to this? It's like gotten simpler. Mission Impossible's, the first one is complex. I was talking to my brother about this. I'm like, I don't even know what
happened. The first one's my favorite. I've not yet seen this one, but.
And then after that, they get simple. And you're like, it's action-oriented now.
Yeah.
Which is great. I think it's great. So it hit number 1. It's got good reviews. But you didn't get to see it. But I thought, it's fantastic. And
I've heard really good things about it.
Yeah.
So, although one of my friends did not like it. So
who is that?
Prince and Faith. So
they're
longtime listeners.
I was so disappointed when he said, it was not that good.
I've heard good things about it. I'm excited to see it because I like Mission Impossible.
Yeah, and Tom Cruise hanging on
his own stunts.
He does. He fell off a motorcycle in this. He hung on to plane.
Don't give it all away.
It's all in the preview, right? So they shot the plane scene 8 times because he wanted it just right. I don't know how many times they shot the motorcycle scene. There's some good action.
Yeah.
And there's some stuff where, that should have killed him.
Then how did he survive?
Right? In the fourth one, he hits a building. But anyway, so... interesting thing about this was moved up. It was supposed to launch in like November, and so there's another movie coming out that's kind of these two go head to head. It's James Bond, right?
Ooh.
Yeah. So what type of guy are you?
I feel like I like the Mission Impossible movies better.
Yeah.
Because as you said, they're more simple now. here's what I don't like about Mission Impossible movies, and I haven't seen this one, so I don't know if it's in there. So don't tell me. But in all the other ones. There's that whole weird face thing. Like, in the first one, they used it a little bit, right? He's like, at the end, he used it to trick the guy. And I think they used it twice in the first one, where they, make a fake face, and then they pull it off. You're like, it was the gardener the whole time.
What?
And I got the way for it. If it wasn't for you, pesky Mission Impossible Task Force, or whatever, IMF.
IMF. International Monetary Fund. It's a real organization.
Oh, I thought it was igloos making fires.
Nope.
that would ruin the igloo. But anyways, So then in the second one, everybody had a different face. And I'm like, why? They, totally overdid this. Third and fourth, they used it. I don't know about the fourth one. I don't remember the fourth one very much. So
the fourth one, it messes up. And one of them messes up. And they're like, we got to just go in with... Oh, yeah. So he's infiltrating a secret... Not a secret. It's a Russian place. But yeah, so it messes up in the fourth one.
Okay. So, yeah. So I don't like that aspect of him. The Bond movies I like, but I feel like sometimes they're too... highbrow, almost they think they're better than everybody else. James Bond's
James Bond. He's supposed to be that.
So the Quantum of Solace, I was like, I got to the end of it, I was like, what? I don't even know what a Quantum of Solace is.
I liked it.
I did like Casino Royale a whole lot. Like the new ones with Daniel Craig as Bond. So Skyfall was great. Mm-hmm. So this next one,
Spectre.
Spectre, gosh.
Spectre.
The E is silent. It's just Spectre. So this one I'm excited about because it's right after the Skyfall, right? And it take place
I think so.
Shortly after?
Yeah.
Wait, which one started off, like, directly after the other one? Was that...
As Quantum of Solace.
Quantum of Solace took place...
directly after Casino Royale, because he's going after...
in the car, right, or something? Like, somebody's in the back of a car or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I like that.
Mr. White. He's captured Mr. White.
I like when the movie, like, when movies do that, because...
Yeah, it's awesome. You're like, oh, man, it's connected.
Because the first three Bourne movies...
Yes.
The third one, like, takes place in between... Like, there's like a good period of time in between the second and third one. Like, because you start off, you're like, oh, and then something happens. You're like, oh, this is taking place in between. So there's like oh, I didn't even realize that. So I like when movies do that. So, what about Bourne, though? Where would you put the Bourne movies in this?
Yeah.
Because they kind of tried to reboot it with that one guy.
Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome, too, which he's in Mission Impossible.
Oh, yeah.
He's good. I like that. I like Mission Impossible more. That's probably my number one. Then James Bond, then Bourne.
So we got to tie this into worldview. So spy movies, though, like, because you kind of get this idea there's something else going on in the world behind the scenes, right? You're like, oh, is this person a good guy or bad guy? Are they like... So it kind of gives... That's why I like these movies.
Well, yeah.
Because they give you, like, this idea of, like, there's all this cool stuff going on behind the scenes that you don't know about. And you're like, maybe you'll figure it out one day or something.
Well, even with some of the critics that said about Mission Impossible, is they said the organization that the IMF is fighting, you're not really given a good reason why they're bad. Like, why should we care any more that, like, be against them any more than we should be against the IMF? Because they do all the same stuff, right? Maybe the IMF plays by certain rules, but this other organization is trying to break down some of... Because within the last couple of years, the NSA and all that stuff, kind of in real life, you're like, oh, they've been doing all this stuff. So there hasn't been transparency and all this. So this shadow organization called the Syndicate is out there, and they're trying to break down some of these other organizations. Now, you might not agree with their methods, but it's like, why should I be any more against them
than they are? That's where Person of Interest goes. Like, the TV show, which it's my favorite show on TV right now. But yeah, it's that same idea. Like, okay, what makes you different than me in these methods that we're like, and that, I mean, that's a great worldview thing, right? Because as followers of Jesus, we're like, well, we're right, and we have our ideals and morals, and so we kind of, I don't say push that, but like on other people, but it's like, hey, this is the truth, this is the right way. And then other people come along and like, hey, but I've grown up believing this, so why is your way better than my way?
Yeah, why are you right and I'm wrong?
Yeah, and so that's interesting. So these people, and that the bad guy always says that in the movie, though. Like, how are you any different? You just killed all these people. I kill people, but you kill them in the name of your government. But,
yeah.
And I don't. I kill them because I like killing or whatever. Because they're the bad guys. You have to hate them. And so I punched Cecil the Lion in his face before I shot him.
And some of the stuff that the movie gets into is the end justifying the means. So, hey, this is the end I have. Some of the means you might not agree with, but look at the end. Do you want this end? And because sometimes I feel like a lot of people fall into that category where like, well, it's okay to compromise some of my character because look at what I'm going for. Look at that end picture. And that happens to do with worldview. Like, is it okay to compromise who you are now to get to a better future in the future?
No, because by compromising who you are now, it affects who you are in the future.
Yeah.
So even if you get to this good place, you've gotten there by dirty means or whatever, and like, or unfairness or cheating or lying or stealing or whatever. And then you get there and you're like, okay, I'm here, but I also did all this other stuff. I don't know. I never think the end justifies the means unless it benefits me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm all for it.
I'm okay with it now. Well, you know, I taught students this week and I shared, I said, hey, what we do in the present moments makes us into the future person. Because I can do this. It's totally separate from who I am going to be in the future. I don't think that's true. I think who you are now is definitely making who you are going to be in the future. I don't know. We always assume.
That's good.
It's so detached, right? You're like, I'm going to be all this in the future. Sure, I'm not doing anything to get there now, but I'm going to be this in the future.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to think about that. Hey, what are you doing? And that's a really big part of our worldview. And as a follower of Christ, I think, hey, what are you doing now that's really getting you to, like, follow Christ more? And so it's very important. to think about. I mean, hey, if you're compromising now, it's okay to do this. It's okay to watch that. Yeah. Ultimately, the show's to get you to start thinking about what are you consuming?
Right.
Where's it taking you? Is it affecting you? Does that monster affect you? Your energy drink? I mean, does it send out a certain message?
Yeah. And yeah, because we do that with TV shows. I think there's one TV show I watched one time with my wife. Like, we were watching it, and then we took a break from it for a while, and then we came back to it, and I was like, man, this is really dirty. Like, I didn't realize how dirty the humor was, because over time, it got a little bit, it just added a little bit here and there, and at first, you're like, oh, okay, but then when I, like, took a step back and got back into that show, I'm like, you know, I don't want to watch this show anymore, because the humor, yeah, it's funny, but it's also very dirty, and I'm like, I don't want to fill my mind with this stuff. So, and so there's always those little compromises, like, oh, I'll just let this slide. I'll just...
This one's okay. Yeah. This one's okay. I'll draw the line here.
It's just a little bit. So, but movies do affect us. Like, movies have an impact on us that we sometimes don't think about. Sometimes we're like, oh, yeah, it's just a good movie or whatever.
It's just a movie.
But, yeah, but, like, the language in it, the violence, like, we become desensitized if there's sexual natures of stuff. Like we become desensitized over time. That's why...
And things get normalized.
Yeah. Well, that's why you look at, like, horror movies from the 50s. Like, people, like, passing out in the theater when, like, Devil Bat flies on the screen. And you're like, that's a big bat! And people, like, there's, like, women fainting in the audience. Yeah. And then now you're like, they showed that. You're like, this is stupid. But, yeah, because you have to push it further. And, like, you have, like, the Saw movies. And, like, these things are, like, so over-the-top grotesque.
Faster and furiouser.
More faster and more furiouser the seventh. Yeah. Yeah, because those movies, you're like, okay, the first one, they drive cars fast. In, like, the seventh one, they're, like, driving cars from out of planes through buildings into the ocean, and they turn into jumbo jets and fly out of... Like, you're like, what is going... Okay, that didn't happen. But they do drive them through buildings. I haven't seen the seventh one yet, but I saw the preview.
They're flying cars.
And then we're going to drive tanks through Brazil and kill, like, everybody. So, it just keeps... It keeps escalating, right? And so... But movies impact us, and sometimes we don't think about that. And so that's why I asked on Facebook, and we've asked on the show the last couple of weeks, like, what's a movie that impacted you that had an effect on your life? Our first responder was Abby Grillo, and she said the movie that impacted her was Cyberbully.
Wow, I'd never heard of that. Cyberbully.
She didn't tell me why, but I think it was, like, the last movie she saw. She doesn't see many movies, but she's like, Cyberbully. It's about this girl that gets cyberbullied, and then I think she dies, and then her friends try and get revenge for her or something. I don't know, something weird. So,
yeah.
My sister, Adrian,
on Netflix.
Wrote in a really long response. Cyberbully's on Netflix?
Maybe not.
I think it just got out of theater. So
no, it's from 2011.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where have you been, man?
What's the one that just came out that was, like, about cyberbullying?
No idea.
I don't know.
Can't remember off the top of my head.
It follows. I don't know. All right, so my sister wrote in. She said the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Ooh.
She said it changed my life almost on a foundational level because it opened her eyes to the world of Christian themes and media and how Christian thoughts and ideas can be cutting edge and leading culture rather than following behind. So you and I have poked fun at Christian movies on here from time to time. And I put Christian movies in quotes. You can't see that because it's not a video podcast yet. But it's that idea, right? Like, you're like, oh, that was a good movie for a Christian movie. Yeah. So you're like, oh yeah, God's not dead. It has good points to it, but you're like, the acting's not that great. Some of the, it's cheesy.
Yeah.
It's like, there's always those, like, last minute people are dying and the person that, like, hated Jesus the whole movie decides, like, I'm going to love Jesus now. Like, in those last minutes, you're like, okay, I know that happens, but, like, it happens, like, in every Christian movie, kind of.
Yes.
It's like, or somebody doesn't, and you're like, they died and didn't know Jesus.
You don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. You know, don't be like this guy. So, I like the she said the metaphors throughout the movie helped her to understand God better. Sometimes they were almost blatantly Christian. Gandalf talking about heaven, forces of evil, etc. But yet, they were presented in a way that wasn't a Jesus juke. Like some of the Christian movies seem to be one giant Jesus juke, which we just talked about. But
yeah.
So she said there's one specific quote that sticks with me that gives me hope and sense of responsibility at the same time. So Frodo says, I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this had happened. And Gandalf says, so do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. There are other forces at work in this world, Frodo, besides the will of evil. Bilbo was meant to find the ring, in which case you were meant also to have it. Mm. And that is an encouraging thought.
Mm.
And so, man, I like that, right? Because there's these... And I know, like, sometimes people miss that, but that's why, like, as a listener of this show, I want people to, like, get these things and, like, look at it through a biblical worldview. So when you look at these movies, you're like, okay, how does this point people to Jesus? Because almost every story points back to Christ in some way, even whether the filmmaker intended it or not. Yeah. There's some kind of truth that is behind all the explosions and craziness or funniness or whatever it is that they're trying to get across. Because I think all of us are made in the image of God. Yeah. So that story is within us. So the other one that she said was Lost, the TV show that changed her life. So she just said the questions about what flashbacks or scenes from my life would be shown to explain who I am and why I make the decisions I do. Have you seen Lost?
I've seen the first season and some of the second season. I thought it was great. I was like, oh man, like this is really cool.
Again, we're not endorsing it, but yeah. But it was a good show.
Back in the day, a lot of people here where I worked, they watched it.
There was that joke for a while that like the two most popular shows watched by Christians were Lost and American Idol. You're like, wait, both of those things like are not like Lost. But
it's true though.
But yeah, so that, I mean, that show, yeah, like it did something that shows hadn't really done before. They did those flashbacks. And so that's an interesting thought. Like what show, if your life, like, here's who James Helm is and why, and they like would flash back to a scene. Like, what scenes would define you? That's a good thought. And so she said one of her favorite episodes, it's called The Moth. And this guy is addicted to drugs. And in it, this other guy's trying to help him. And he takes the drugs, but he doesn't destroy him. He goes, why didn't you destroy him? And Locke says, if I did that, you wouldn't have a choice. And having choices, making decisions based on more than instinct, is the only thing that separates you from him. And it points to an animal that he hunted and killed. And so...
Yeah, it
was Cecil the Lion. It was a foreshadowing.
yeah. And we never knew.
Yeah, and so, but then, like...
That's huge.
The moth, so the end, like, there's a moth coming out of a cocoon. He says, like, the moth is making a little hole in the cocoon. He says, you see that hole? The moth's just about to emerge. It's in there right now, struggling. It's digging its way through the thick hide of the cocoon. Now, I could help it, take my knife, gently widen the opening, and the moth would be free, but it would be too weak to survive. Struggle is nature's way of strengthening it. So... I just thought it was good, like, because a lot of times, because she said it helped her to understand God and suffering better, because when we go through suffering, like, God talks about, like he put suffering in our life to help us be better people, like, and to be more like him, and so, because Jesus suffered when he was on earth, and then, so I thought that was interesting. So,
wow.
There's a scene in Lost for me that, like, I think was a pivotal scene for me, because in it, like, all these people are trying to get off the island and there's all this crazy stuff and people are
dying.
Which
season?
I think it was like the last one.
Okay.
So like, and the that show just gets more and more crazy as it goes along. Yeah. There's like time travel, like,
what?
And like alternate dimensions. You're like, what is happening?
I need to go back and watch the rest of it.
So, but in it, like, all these people are running around and there's this husband and wife that were on the plane that got separated and they got back to, like, they were separated in the crash and then they eventually find their way back to each other. And so everybody's running around and they find this couple, and I think, I don't really remember where they are, but they're like in the jungle and they like built a little house for themselves or whatever. And they're sitting there and they're like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, we're enjoying life. Like, you guys are running around like crazy people and we're just enjoying each other's company. And it just was this great reminder of, like, sometimes we just get so bogged down with all the, like, busyness of life and the craziness. It's like the story of Jesus with Mary and Martha, where Martha comes out and was like, hey, like, Mary's in here talking to you and I'm cooking, I'm doing all this stuff.
There's so much to do.
Yeah, and you're not doing anything. Like, Martha's like, or Mary's like not doing anything. And she's like, Martha, like, Mary's sitting at my feet. Like, she's in my presence, and that's more important than all the work. And that's like that scene illustrated that for me. So, sorry, were you going to say something?
No.
I'm just talking a lot.
No, so. This is good. So that really, that touched, I don't know, like that stuff. That's awesome. Because that makes me think, even now. My big movie.
What was yours?
Mine. It's not a critically acclaimed movie. You probably wouldn't realize. I got some weird movies that are like, not weird, but they're just like, what? Why is that like your favoriteest movie ever? So, A Walk to Remember.
A Walk to Remember.
A Walk to Remember. Like, it's a great
I never
title.
Saw it was Mandy Moore, though, right?
I know, right?
That's when it's she was breaking out of acting from singing. So
yeah, obviously, neither of those are going very well.
What is Mandy Moore up to
Where
these
is
days?
She? I think but, I picked up a CD by her
so
recently.
So why does that movie like have an impact on
I
your life?
I don't know. It's just like, I cried a little during it. So I'm like, if this movie makes me cry, it must be meaningful. Right? You're like, Up made me cry. Yeah, I'm like, what?
Inside out, too.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm such a baby. Yeah. But yeah, so you just get to see like this love story, this guy going from, spoiler alerts, going from bad and just like to good. And I've always been, you know, I've seen the bad kids in school. I'm like, man, I wish they'd like turn to good. I wish they wouldn't be rebellious. Or I don't know all the reasons why they do it. But I was more of the goody two-shoes.
Yeah.
And so I see this, and I'm like, that's great. That's what I want to see. And so you just see this transformation of, hey, I'm a rebel. I'm all for this sort of lifestyle to I'm changing it. Like, this person has changed me, which I think of Jesus. I'm like, Jesus changes people, right? And then we can't go back to our old lifestyle because we're like, I want to go after this. This is better. And so I see this, and him going after this girl and this struggle because she's all good. And he's like, he can bring her down, but then she actually brings him up and changes him and in these huge ways. And then you find out, oh, she's dying.
What?
She's got cancer, right?
Oh, great.
And so you're like, no, right? This is supposed to be this perfect thing. And she struggles because she's like, I can't be near you. Like, I don't want to tease myself, or I don't want to, because I won't be able to live it out with you, this life. I'm seeing all these promises of what we could, but I can't. Yeah. And so she distances herself from him, but then they come back together and they embrace it. They're like, okay, this is happening. Like, this is real, but let's embrace it. Let's go through this together. Are you willing to go this with me? And so, I mean, at the end, they get married, but she dies. Like, she dies at the end. And it shows the last scene where the guy talking to her father or whatever, like, he's still processing. It's been maybe a few years because they got to live together for a few years. And he had this happiness. But you're just like, wow, like, stuff happens, right? This is real life. And how do we embrace that? How do we embrace real life? I mean, there's stuff we could want. Yeah. But sometimes that stuff doesn't happen. Are we ones to run away from it? Are we ones to be like, oh, I'm mad, and I shake my fists at God? Because I think that happens a lot. Like, we're like, this shouldn't be happening. But ultimately, the guy at the end of the movie, he embraces it. And he's like, yeah, I don't regret any of this.
Made the most of the time they had.
Yeah, we've made the most. And so I think that's... And another one, which it kind of falls into place because it's like a tie, and they're both like not critically acclaimed. The Ultimate Gift. And you get to see, it's another, like, bad kid one. He's finding his place, and he lives this certain lifestyle, and then he runs into this little girl who's, I don't even know how they meet, but he starts talking to her mom, and then ultimately he has to go through these gifts, these series of gifts, because it's his grandpa's trying to make him into a better person and have him discover more things about life. And then he discovers the girl has, like, cancer. And again, right? And she's like,
it's like Nicholas Sparks movies.
And I'm just like, oh, why? Right? It's so sad. But ultimately, you see this transformation before your eyes of who he is. And even though this bad stuff happens, he's like, I'm going to make the most of it. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to try to have a bigger impact on more than just me. Like, it's like their view of life is opened up. It's not all about me anymore. It's about more than me. And so... I just love that. I love those stories. We're like, oh, these discoveries and how God just uses people and says, hey, this is happening. This is real. And it's terrible. Like, right? People dying, this stuff. But there is a plan behind it. And I think that's huge.
That's where I get, like, I think the movies that have impacted me are the ones that, like, it's about, like, it's those coming of age stories, right? Where you're learning... Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I know, like, oh, what? But that the Cameron character, let my Cameron go.
Yeah.
Like, Cameron, like, his character, like, just watching him throughout the film because...
And that's the kid with the Ferrari. He's like...
Yeah, but at the end, like, so it's kind of, it's Ferris's story.
Yeah.
But at the end, like, it kind of becomes Cameron's story because their stories become intertwined because it's like, Cameron has to stand up to his dad in the end because his dad's like this mean, not mean guy, but he just isn't there
very
for him.
Strict.
Yeah, he's very strict and like doesn't talk to him and all this stuff. And then at the end, Cameron like has to come to that realization of, I've got to do something. But like the whole movie, he's depressed. He's like, he's kind of depressed because because here you have Ferris who's living life to the fullest. He's not doing what he's supposed to do in life. Everything happens great to him. But then you have Cameron who's like, just kind of this sad kid, but like Ferris is trying to like teach him about life and stuff and like what it means to live life to the fullest.
Yeah.
And you have Cameron who like he just can't overcome that, like, oh, my dad doesn't like me and all this stuff. And I really like that movie. The other one, man, and I don't recommend this movie because it is super dark humor. I watched it in college. There was like a film fest that our campus did.
There you go. But I did it for a film festival.
Yeah, but it's called Harold and Maude. It's like the late 70s, maybe early 80s. It's about like an 18-year-old kid that falls in love with a 79-year-old woman. And it's really weird. Okay. Yeah
that seems really weird, man.
But the whole movie is about him because he doesn't have a dad. His mom's really rich. Mm-hmm. And it's about him like trying to find acceptance, right? He's like trying to find meaning in life. And so like his mom is like trying to get him to date people and trying to like pass him off to other girls. Like she's trying to put a male mentor in his life that's a really weird guy. Like she's trying to do all this stuff to help her son, but she's not like ever listening to him. Like he like tries to communicate to her. It's also dark because he doesn't attempt suicide, but he like fakes his suicide a bunch. And so throughout the movie, like the mom will walk in and he's like, or there's a scene where she's swimming in this pool and he's like floating face down. Like he's not dead, but he's like acting like he is, and she never pays attention to him, right? Yeah. She just like ignores all of his attempts to like reach out to her. And so the 79-year-old woman is like him, and so he like kind of falls for her. But it's just as interesting, like you're watching like him kind of realize like that life isn't just about doing everything that you want. Like it's great. Like I don't want to give it away, but I also don't want you to watch it. But it's just like this moment of like him realizing that selfishness isn't the best way to live life. Cause he thought it was like, it's about me. It's about myself. And then like at the end, it's not like he realizes like, oh, this lady that I thought I loved, like was so selfish about her own life. Yeah. That she didn't really love other people. She just loved herself. And he's like, that's not what I want. And so it just made me think a lot, like about just life and like how we try to. I don't know. Don't watch it, but it's a weird movie. Definitely weird. Very dark. So some of our Facebook responses. Are we gonna get to that?
Yeah. Okay. Let's see.
So I'm gonna read last names or just first names. So Caitlin and Jillian both said to write love on her arms. It's about I think it's a girl that's depressed and in the cutting, and now it's like an organization. So it's just kind of this story about how this organization formed. Because it's about like helping teens and people that are depressed and suicidal and are just into cutting or whatever, like how to deal with that and cope with that. So that one, Jillian also said to Save a Life. So that's another Christian movie that deals with like everything teens go through in one movie. April said Fireproof, God's Not Dead. And it's hard to pick one because most of the movies we watch are inspirational and make a difference somehow.
Yeah.
My friend Ben said The Big Lebowski.
Yeah! I've seen that. I like that.
I've never seen that movie. But here's why this movie changed his life. Because he goes, like, he travels to these, like, Big Lebowski lookalike contests. Or whatever. And so he goes to all these conventions and stuff and, like, is a part of. And I think he's, like, met the cast and stuff. So it really has, like, changed his life. Because he goes around and does stuff, like, with the people. So Christy and Kevin both said The Notebook. Enjoy life every day is what they said they got from that.
Yeah.
Pursuit of Happiness is Alicia. And then The Ron Clark Story. I don't know that one. I thought I looked up the ones. I don't know Ron Clark Story. You want to read some?
Melinda, she says, The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry. I don't know that one. But, hey, The Ultimate Gift.
Oh, yeah.
Another one. I was like, yeah. Angela, she says, Neverending Story.
That's my wife.
Yeah, now you know her last name.
So, good The Neverending Story. Okay. I'll read through them all, and then I'll, like, tell you why.
Life is Beautiful. Never heard of that one, but that sounds beautiful.
That's the one, the World War II one. With, I forget who the guy is in it. But, yeah, okay.
Return of the Jedi, Secret Life of Walter Mitty, and The Ring. What?
Okay, so.
Isn't that a horror movie?
Secret Life of Walter Mitty, we both like this one a lot.
Yeah, I thought it was
great. Because that one's about just, like, not.
Him discovering, like, he lives a certain life, and then he discovers he can be more.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just discover potential, and it's like, who's holding himself back? He is.
So Neverending Story, like, terrified Angela, because they had that wolf thing in it, and she's like been terrified of wolves ever since. So like that like affected her childhood.
She was always scared. Ring.
So The Ring, she said that movie scared me so bad I vowed never to ever watch a scary movie again.
And so is that
That's true. Yeah, yeah, she's never watched, like, yeah, since that movie. She's like, it was so scary. She never watched
scary movie.
Because The Ring's not really a horror movie. It's just like frightening, man. I don't know.
It's a horror movie.
Well, I consider horror movies like bloody and gory.
So slasher.
Okay. And then another Angela, not my wife, a different one, said, mine would have to be the only movie I went to see by myself. Serendipity. Huh. Is it John Cusack?
She's only seen a movie by herself once. Like, yes. I look forward to that.
James always goes to movies by herself. You know,
movies alone are the best. It really, I don't know.
But look, here's what she says about going to movies. So for the first time in my life, I sucked it up and decided to brave the movie theater all by myself. This was something freeing about it. And a good chick flick.
Exactly. So, it's freeing, guys. Go to movies alone. Everybody can be
James
alone.
James loves to go to the movies by
himself.
That's
great.
Don't tell his girlfriend. So, Bill said Star Wars.
All of them.
Of course. The first movie that really made me think of the battle of good versus evil as a kid. Plus, it had lightsabers. He said also the first time he watched Passion of the Christ. Let's say I get misty-eyed. I have never really imagined what Jesus endured for us until I watched it. Wow. Talk about reality check. So... And yeah. Then the other Angela said, Passion of the Christ tops the list for me, too. So emotionally and spiritually moving. So, yeah, I think that, like...
You got to say.
That movie was well... I mean, that movie, the,
it was,
like,
done
was
well.
A well-done...
It was a high-budget Christian film.
So, Andrew Crow, who's been on the show...
He has.
What's his movie?
Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey, 1993.
He doesn't explain it. I love it. He posted a link to Homeward
Bound. I've seen it. It's great. You know, two dogs...
Trying to get home.
We talk.
Isn't there a cat? I don't know.
Is there a cat? I don't even remember.
All right, we got to hurry because we're over time. Cheryl said the Titanic.
Yep.
Vanessa said Silkwood. Ooh. I saw it over and over. Made me think about the cost of standing up for what you believe in. Sometimes having to do that alone. I don't know what Silkwood is.
I don't know that one.
Sorry, I didn't look that one up. Okay.
There's a lot of movies in the world. Jimmy, he says Joe Dirt. Awesome. That's so funny. Joel, Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes.
Bradley, The Game. Yeah, I like that one too. I saw
the game
recently.
Yeah, and I asked
because he doesn't
why.
Know.
Yeah. But he said the philosophical implications are endless. However, the most lasting impact is simply that it's my favorite movie to show people who haven't seen it. Because it's one of those movies that leaves you guessing to like the very end.
Yeah,
and
you're
like,
what?
Is this,
what's
the game?
Going on?
Is this real? Is this bad people? Like, that is an interesting movie. It's rated R though. So I mean, like again, if
we don't
just because we say we like a movie or whatever. Again, like some of these movies, it's been a long time since I've seen them, or it's all on my TV.
Yeah.
Shallow how? Alicia said that. So, yeah.
Mackenzie,
your lady friend.
Yeah, A Beautiful Mind. Why'd she?
A bunch of psychology stuff in it. And
she's
beautiful
gonna
music.
Be a psychologist.
But most importantly, it taught me beauty is found in the eyes of the beholder. That what people love to do is found in the perspective of a person uniquely, and then just love and commitment to people. So,
Lori, she said, The Book of Eli. I love that movie. I thought it was so good. I'm like, it's got the Bible in it. It's got to be good, right? And it's got Denzel Washington, and he's, spoiler alert, he's blind, and he can, like, fight people. Bob said, American President.
Oh, wait. We didn't read, she's...
Oh, so coming back.
She had a good... Yeah, because Lori said, I think it's one... She's like, I'm not sure why it touched me so much. I think it's one of those movies that provokes so much thought. It's something we take for granted. Something that we have in our lives, we many times don't stop to think of who and what sacrifice to make sure that we would have it.
Because a lot of times, we do. Like, we'll just move on from stuff. We don't think about how did this get here? Why is this here?
Yeah,
like who sacrificed what?
Because the book that he's we know what it is. It's the Bible, right?
The Bible.
So it's this powerful book. Yeah, but like we don't think about all the people that died. Like the martyrs, like of our faith, that like were killed, like so that we could have the Bible and all that stuff. And that's a good point. So,
Bob said the American President. Always remember when the rumors were swirling and Michael Douglas stepped into the press room and did what great leaders do. Said it's time to stop the nonsense and focus on real issues and solve some real problems.
That's good. Jana said, "I'm potential."
That's a new one.
Jana, it is new.
Yeah, so that one came out recently, and it's a. Kind of a documentary. It follows a. I don't know enough about it, but I hear it's really inspiring. So
I don't know. Broken Circle Breakdown. Melissa said that. And I didn't know what it was, but she's like, I don't want to give away the entire plot, but it's a Belgian drama film about a couple who falls in love through their love of bluegrass music. I already like this.
Yeah.
It shows the incredible trials of their relationship, especially when their daughter later becomes very, very ill. It's totally heartbreaking. So if you watch it, have Kleenex ready. It's an amazing film and one of my absolute favorites. So I've never heard of Broken Circle Breakdown.
Nathan, he said Moneyball. You said why? And he said Brad Pitt. No, I don't know. I don't know what he said, but I know Brad Pitt's in it, and I love that guy.
He said from a leadership standpoint, the ability to determine your specific strategy and plan and pursue it wholeheartedly, no matter how different it is or how critics may be, how people are.
Yeah. Jim said Man on Fire.
He says a bunch of them. Okay.
Yeah, he does. Kingdom of Heaven, you know, picture of faith versus religion.
We got to tell why. Oh, Man on Fire, the final scene is a beautiful picture of Christ exchanging himself for my freedom.
Yeah.
All right.
Kingdom of Heaven, picture of a living faith versus religion. That's huge. A lot of times you can go through the motions and be a part of the religion, but you don't really you're not letting your faith transform you.
Social Network, greatest commentary on the generation's desire to be accepted but left empty. Beyond Borders, the banquet fundraising scene wrecked me. I don't know.
Oh, wow. Sorry. There are more.
King Arthur, We Were Soldiers, Remember the Titans, taught me about be a leader worth following. The Mask, Liar, Liar, Ace Ventura movies, Dumb and Dumber. He says, I studied Jim Carrey's humor and physical acting to incorporate in my own style of humor.
He's still working on it.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Funny. Aladdin, Robin Williams is a genius.
I like the singing. And then he says another one, which he did. So The Dark Knight. Hello, Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Hey, there's still a bunch of responses. Can we finish this conversation next week?
Yeah. And if you guys want to add to it, continue the conversation, because it's not like this stops here. But yeah, movies.
Go to my Facebook page, Chris Chadowin, Chaudoin.
Yeah, I spelled that wrong.
Okay, so hey, thanks for tuning in today. Sorry, I get excited when we talk about movies, but there's still a bunch on here, and we're going to get to them later. So thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Any closing thoughts?
No, that's it.
All right, see you later.
All right, bye. Podcast Viewfinder.